There's a lot of talk these days around the concept of what is considered essential. Perhaps it's a way in which we as a culture are distracting ourselves from the mental fatigue of the prolonged, uncertain, and sometimes confusing and or conflicting instructions that we're all being asked to respect during COVID-19. You might remember that in two previous government-regulated shutdown orders, there were outcries about which stores were allowed to open and which weren't. Some were deemed essential, others by omission were not. The standards used to determine what was essential could seem really contradictory, unbalanced, or even unfair as various levels of government, industry, and governing bodies tried to provide protocols for something that no one has had to deal with in over 100 years. Activities, workers, and consumer items were all defined and divided as either essential or non-essential. And no one, it seems, is pleased. Essential workers in those designated essential places are being overworked. Essential work has become an interference to the ease and freedoms that we have come to enjoy in this part of the world. Essential goods came under scrutiny, and as we now endure a third lockdown in our province, the definitions of what is determined as essential have again shifted, in part due to the complaints from the previous two lockdowns. And how are we responding to those changes? Well, we're not pleased. Not surprising, right? But stay tuned, as it looks like there's more change to come in the essential shifts necessary. We're learning a lot about this concept of essential, aren't we? Most often, this word essential is used to describe that which is basic, common, indispensable, and necessary. And when you think of it that way, it should cause us to rethink how much comfort, entertainment, and extra we have come to accept and expect as part of our regular life. However, this word essential also has a primary meaning that is sometimes forgotten. It means to constitute essence or to possess an inherent quality or character. Today, as we begin our look at the seven I am statements of Jesus as they appear in the Gospel of John, this word essential is crucial to our understanding. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he is making a declaration about a basic and indispensable need of our lives that he can provide, and he is also making a statement about the quality, character, or essence of his provision of life. Jesus uses the common or essential item of bread to introduce the uncommon possibilities that exist as we respond to this statement, "I am the bread of life." And while this passage is lengthy, it is significant as the first occurrence of the I am statements, and therefore it's worth listening to and entering into the setting. What John is describing here in chapter 6, verses 25 to 59 is occurring shortly after Jesus has miraculously taken some fish and some loaves of bread to feed about 15,000 people. He's also walked through a storm on the Sea of Galilee to rescue the disciples. And it is now the next day, and the people, some with curiosity, some with zeal, and some a little hungry, are about to discover the essential Jesus. So let's read that together. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, it says, starting in verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And so they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still don't believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. So let's notice first that Jesus says in verses 25 to 33, we desire beyond the essential. As the people were clamoring around him, Jesus is able to clearly identify the desire that the people of the day had and that we also share. We long to be satisfied or filled. However, the problem with them and with many of us is that we try to fill ourselves with unsatisfying, unenduring, and unfulfilling experiences, even good ones. There are those of us who only want what Jesus can do for us. We have not yet learned to depend on him as a regular part of our daily rhythm. Instead, we look for a quick fix, maybe like a conference or a mission trip, a book, a song, a video, or even a church service. And then we feel good for a bit, even maybe encouraged, sometimes excited, until we don't. And then we try to replicate that experience or that feeling again. Jesus says that the work of God is to believe in the one whom God has sent. Many of us have acknowledged Jesus. We have good intentions about Jesus, but our belief is more contingent on him satisfying our wants, not unlike how too many people are treating our government leaders. Dallas Willard, in his book, The Divine Conspiracy, says, "We fail to be disciples only because we do not decide to be. We do not intend to be disciples. It is the power of the decision and the intention over our life that is missing." One of the first questions that we need to respond to when it comes to the essential Jesus is, am I depending upon him in my day-to-day life? I want you to notice, secondly, that we have an invitation of eternal essence. You see that here in verses 34 to 40. If you missed our introductory message last week, where we observed that Jesus' use of the I am statement was purposeful in establishing his equality with God and his eternality as God. You see, Jesus emphasizes his essence or his essential nature here at the outset. This essence of equality with God and eternality as God will carry through all seven statements. And I would encourage you to go back and rewatch or re-listen to last week's message as a reminder. Jesus now takes their common understanding of eating bread, of being fed, of having regular nourishment, and turns it into an uncommon invitation. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. And then don't miss this next part, because he speaks to the distribution list and the duration of this invitation. There are two words that you can underline, circle, note, or highlight. Whoever comes. Jesus is inviting anyone. Yes, even those who disagree with me or voice their opposition to me. Jesus extends the opportunity for belief to everyone, even those who are trying to take advantage of him. Have you come to Jesus with a desire to believe or just merely to acknowledge? Thirdly, let's recognize that Jesus satisfies. Verses 41 to 51, 12 different times within this greater passage, there is a mention of bread. The use of this term was both specific and ambiguous. It could certainly apply to the specific item of bread, and it could also be used to describe food in general. Often we read about the breaking of bread, this concept of eating together with others. Jesus understood our natural human need for food. He understood that food is essential. I like to eat. I don't think that's a secret for very many people. In fact, I love to eat. Some people, you know, some people are snackers. They'll eat several times through the day. Other people like to eat at regular intervals or meals. I'm both, and I need to be careful with that at times. But how many of us have eaten already today? How many are going to eat later today? At least once, maybe twice? How many will eat again tomorrow? Right, you gotta get it now. Jesus says that when we establish our belief or feed upon him and his life and truth on a regular basis, just as we do with food, then it will change our lives now and it will extend for all time. Jesus is the bread of life who gives his life to the world and who extends our perspective on life to the eternal. The problem is that many of us approach our relationship with Jesus like that occasional visit to an all-you-can-eat buffet, where we overstimulate and overstuff ourselves on meat and dessert. It's good in the moment, but that doesn't last. It's not ultimately satisfying. And so therefore, notice lastly, that we are to establish a healthy diet of Jesus. In the last few verses of this passage, instead of chasing down these indulgent spiritual experiences like an all-you-can-eat buffet, we need to learn to develop a regular rhythm of being sustained and strengthened by the presence of Jesus Christ. When Jesus spoke of this to the people around him that day, they struggled to understand. Their minds immediately went to the literal sense of eating his actual flesh, and they were rightly outraged and disgusted by the thought of that. Jesus never intended for a literal reading or interpretation of this, but he uses the analogy to emphasize the strong significance of regular dependence upon him, allowing his word and his spirit to shape our thoughts, decisions, interactions, and desires. Now, it's important to note that when Jesus uses light and a gate and a vine, no one questions the imagery that he's trying to convey. And so the same holds true here as he uses the imagery of bread. And so Jesus's imagery regarding the bread is symbolic or illustrative of our essential need to be satisfied on a regular basis and his capacity to fulfill that need. And introducing his body and blood into this conversation is pointing forward to the crucifixion that he would endure in order to provide redemption through the forgiveness of sin and the deep, meaningful essence for the day-to-day life of all people. In addition, we're being reminded of the spiritual nourishment for our souls that is ours when we pause for the Lord's Supper. Taking up the bread and the cup are symbols of our positive response to the invitation of Jesus and reminders that we are benefactors of the love of God, the eternal promises of God, and the assurance of identity as a follower or a disciple of Jesus Christ. In a world that is recognizing its inability to control outcomes and conceive of solutions, Jesus stands apart and invites you to make a distinct daily decision to learn from him, to be sustained by him, and to be strengthened through him. In accepting the invitation to come to Jesus, to be regularly nurtured by him, that we cultivate new habits that shape our character. The shaping of new character then informs the way in which we respond to adversity, stress, and temptation. And during this season of time, in all its frustrations, the closures and shifting standards and protocols, it's actually a perfect time to evaluate and deepen your relationship with Jesus. Do you want him and the essence of life that he offers, or do you only want what he can do for you? The former is the path of a disciple. The latter is the path of a fan. Jesus invites us to be disciples, followers, learners. It's not casual. It's active and regularly interactive. In fact, we read just a few verses later in verse 66 that Jesus confronted the crowds around him with just that question. And it says that from that time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. It's possible that too many of us are indulgent on Christian experiences rather than regularly nurturing our relationship with Jesus. It's possible that too many of us try to satisfy our religious experience through church going or church watching or a verse of the day, quick hit stimulus. While each of these things can be helpful, they're not a substitute for the daily personal development of a relationship with Jesus. The essential Jesus provides us with the spirit-infused freedom by which we are enabled to respond to the changing circumstances through responsible action that demonstrates and extends the life of Christ to all others. The essential Jesus has so much more. I want to encourage you to get to know him. Perhaps as a practical way to be reminded, let me encourage you to do this, maybe this week. Every time that you go to eat, I want you to pause, and I want you to give thanks to God for his sustaining grace through Jesus Christ, and ask him to nourish your soul and to reveal the essence, the vitality of Jesus to others. In the coming weeks, we'll talk about some other ways that you can build into your lives. But for now, let me leave you with this question as we continue to write or rewrite our story of faith. Who is someone that you know who has inspired or motivated you because of their dependence upon the life of Jesus? Describe how that example has impacted you. So let me say that again. Who is someone that you know or who has inspired or motivated you because of their dependence upon the life of Jesus Christ? Describe how that has impacted you. How has the essential Jesus revealed through their life been demonstrated? How do they rely upon the promises of God? And how is that evident? And how, then, what are you learning? The essential Jesus. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The essence, the character of God being demonstrated through us, revealed through us. I'm excited to see how the Spirit of God is going to work through all of us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to spend in your word. And I thank you for placing us there among the crowds. And some of us, Father, are those who are eager to learn, just like Peter would declare, where else can we go? We need you. We need you. You are the Son of God. And others, Father, are just kind of moved from experience to experience, only wanting what Jesus can do for them and not really understanding how much Christ desires to do on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment schedule to reveal himself and sustain us and strengthen us. And so thank you for meeting with all of us. And I pray, God, that you would allow us to understand the depth of love that Jesus Christ has for us. Thank you for his willingness to sacrifice himself. Thank you for the redemption that is ours through Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, that you would meet with us as we take time to consider the goodness of God to us. We pray, Father, that you would make us grateful and help us, Father, to relinquish our hold on life, to understand that you're holding us. And so would you use us also as a blessing to others? Father, extend your kingdom to men and women and boys and girls. And use us towards that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.